Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
In Ireland, 80% of people, as I was saying, are fibre deficient. Four out of five of those listening right now aren't getting enough roughage in their diet. So how do we fix that? And why is it so important to be including more in our diets? I'm joined now by Orla Walsh, registered dietitian. Orla, good morning.
Good morning, and I'm so glad we're talking a lot more about fibre these days.
Well, every single time I seem to meet you, you and I end up talking about, to be gently euphemistic about it, our stools, which is ultimately what we're going to end up talking about here. But before we get there, why is this so important?
Well, we know that fibre is important for lots of different reasons. We know that it helps manage our hunger and it helps us eat as much food as we need to eat without overeating. It's also important for gut health. It's far more consistently good for our gut health than any probiotic could be. It also has been correlated. So the more fibre we eat, the less likely we are to die. And it has been shown to help reduce the risk of heart disease, as well as some forms of cancer, including bowel cancer.
Okay. How much of it should we be getting?
That's a difficult one to answer. Usually we say around 25 grams a day, just to make sure you're defecating. I knew we'd get there eventually. But when it comes to tailoring it to the person, we look for around 14 grams per 1,000 calories at least. But there is some interesting research coming out suggesting that we might need twice as much as we think we need. But I suppose since most people are, and the average intake in Ireland is around 18 grams a day, we're certainly falling short by at least 7 grams, if not 10 grams a day.
Nobody walks around with a weighing scales. If I was sticking to my 5 a day, would I be getting 25 grams?
Probably, but actually the bulk of our fibre comes from the whole grains we eat, and we're not eating whole grains enough. We tend to consume more processed carbohydrates, so more of the white stuff rather than the brown stuff. And if someone is listening and wondering how could I increase my fibre intake, look at the carbohydrates you're eating, and just like the breads and the cereals and the pastas and the rice, and switching over to more brown versions will probably up your fibre intake enough.
I knew you were going to say brown rice at some point in this conversation. Don't worry,
brown rice is actually nearly a low fibre grain, so actually it's not the one that will put you to the post on this one. Yeah, brown rice actually has as much fibre as white bread. Now, that doesn't mean it's not as good for you. You know, it would be more healthy than white bread, but brown rice offers lots of other things, but fibre, it's not rich in fibre. And interestingly, people who eat a lot of rice can run the risk of being constipated because it's such a low fibre grain.
Come back to whole grains for a second, please. Is there a definition in breads of what actually constitutes a whole grain bread? Because some of those products that have advertised themselves to me as whole grain are, to my mind and to my palate, exactly as processed as a white bread. They're just coloured slightly differently.
Yeah, and that's the tricky thing. There's no clear definition, and that makes labelling on packaging very difficult and a bit of a minefield. Really, if you're buying something in a pack and you want to know if it's high in fibre, you just need to look at the per 100 grams and aim for at least 6 grams of fibre per 100 grams. And lots of the brown products in shops wouldn't actually provide that. But in terms of whole grains, you'll often see contain 60% whole grains or 80%, but there's no clear definition. But why we need to eat more whole grains is because we're eating then the three layers of the grain. Generally, the processed versions offer one layer of the grain, and we're missing out on the fiber-rich bran as well as the vitamin and mineral rich endosperm, that inside bit of the grain.
The kernel bit, rather the bit right at the centre, okay. Not all fibres are created equally, though. There's soluble and insoluble. Can you explain the difference to us, please?
Yeah, so there's over 100 different types of fibre, but if we were to simplify it down and say there's insoluble fibre and soluble fibre, insoluble fibre is the roughage, and it's rough to touch, and that increases stool size and has benefits in terms of reducing the risk of bowel cancer. And that's found in the likes of whole grains, nuts, seeds, and the skin of fruit and vegetables. Soluble fibre is the gel-like fibre, and it softens the stool, but it also has benefits in terms of lowering cholesterol and lowering blood sugar or managing blood sugar better. And that's found in the body of fruit and veg, as well as things like oats, barley and beans, peas and lentils.
Just give us those ingredients again, because I think people might have lost them. But don't bother distinguishing which is soluble, which is insoluble.
Okay, so insoluble is the whole grains, nuts, nuts and seeds, as well as the skin and pips of fruit and veg. And that's why we encourage people to leave the skin on their fruit and veg and the skin on their potatoes. And that really will help reduce your risk of bowel cancer. The soluble fiber is a gel-like fiber, and that's found in oats, barley, beans, peas and lentils, chia seeds, flax seeds. And that is a gel-like fiber, and it lowers cholesterol, and it helps manage blood sugar levels. And I think often when people are trying to increase their fiber intake, I encourage them to do it slowly, but also concentrate on getting a mixture of fibers. Just their gut will thank them. It will be less irritated by the increase in fiber, which is an increase in its workload.
Now, we know and have known for a long time that if you drink a fruit juice, you're only codding yourself if you think that's one of your five a day from a point of view of fiber intake. But tell me, when I make myself a smoothie and I blend the hell out of apples or bananas or whatever, am I losing the benefit of the fibre?
No, the benefit of the fibre is in there, but it's important to mention that about fruit juice. Like a cup of coffee will have more fibre than a glass of orange juice.
Will it really?
But yes, yeah, no, it's not high in fibre by any means, but it just goes to show how low in fibre fruit juice is. But when you do blend it in a smoothie, it's all retained. It's all still in there. But the thing is, it's taken out the job of the mouth and the gut. So it's mechanically broken down. So the problem with a smoothie is we digest it quite quickly. So it still goes into our bloodstream quickly. So yes, you're getting all the goodness from those fruits or vegetables or nuts or seeds or whatever you've added into it, but it will be digested quickly. So it's not going to keep you full for that long. But they are tasty and they are healthy.
Now that you mention coffee, Orla, it occurs to me that if one of the objects of the exercise in eating fibre is to keep things moving through your gut as smoothly and as quickly as possible, would a cup of coffee not do pretty much the same job?
Yeah, it does, interestingly. So a cup of coffee stimulates your gut to move as much as a large meal would. So it's a really good stimulatory agent for the gut. And it's one reason why 80% of the population are fibre deficient, yet 80% aren't constipated. It's because of the likes of coffee. And it's interesting with coffee, it's not just the caffeine. So we know that decaf coffee still stimulates your gut. Not as much, 24% less, but it still stimulates the gut and as much as a standard meal. So it's why that coffee combined with stress is why I understand that, you know, it's my feeling that more people would be constipated if they weren't a little bit stressed or drinking too much coffee.
So we're using coffee to mask the problem in some senses, and we're losing out all the other nutritional benefits that would come from a fibre-rich diet.
Precisely. Yeah, exactly.
And I wonder now, how long is it going to be before the current marketing craze around protein moves on and shifts its attention to fibre and we start to see high-fibre products being marketed?
Yeah, and I think it's already happening, and in social media it's starting to rumble, and that will be the next big trend.
Starting to rumble,
and it'll
excuse
be great
the pun.
Because I know, can't help it, I'm a dietitian. But what will happen is there'll be more whole grain and high fiber products within supermarkets, which will be wonderful. But they'll also just be lashing any old fiber into products to make that claim too. And we see that already in some cereal bars. And often they use a type of fiber like inulin or chicory root. And sometimes, yes, they have their benefits. And yes, they do increase your fiber intake. But when we eat them in excess, it can cause some gut upset, especially bloating and farting. And that's why some people go, Orla, what's the deal? I can't seem to tolerate protein bars well. And that's because of the fibers that are added to them. So again, I suppose it will come back to the thing of we need to eat more whole foods. We're eating too much ultra processed food. In fact, half of our shopping trolley is ultra processed food. So again, if anyone's looking to increase their fiber intake, I would say look to whole foods, foods of one ingredient, foods that you can rob from a farm, and include those a little bit more, and you will naturally increase your fiber intake. But not only that, you'll reduce your salt and sugar intake too.
But you need to scrutinise what whole grain means in doing that, obviously, because not all whole grain products will be created equally.
Yes, absolutely. But you can look at the back of the pack, and I'll say it again just in case someone missed it the first time. And you're looking for more than 6 grams of fibre per 100 grams. And if you look at your favourite breakfast cereal, you'll be able to see, is it high fibre or not? And if you want to know if it's low sugar too, you're looking for less than 5 grams per 100 grams.
6 grams per 100 grams meets the Orla fibre test then. Orla Walsh, registered dietitian, thank you very much for joining us this morning.